You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 1, amen. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, everything and anything about us that's unchristlike. Whatsoever is not of faith, you said, is sin. And I pray, Lord, that you'll cleanse us from all sin, from all iniquity. We've met tonight to worship you, to behold you, to adore you. And I pray that just now that the blessed Spirit of God will steal our hearts in your presence. I pray that you'll search us. Thank you for these that are here, for the songs that have been sung, for those that sang them. Thank you for this camp meeting, for these dear men of God. And I pray your blessings upon them. Thank you for their faithfulness in supporting this meeting. And I pray, Lord, that you'll meet every need that they may have, all the various problems that confront the men of God. I pray that you'll encourage them tonight. Pray, Lord, for each church that's represented. I pray, God, that you'll do a special work in their hearts. We pray, our Father, for those among us that are saved, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, and sinners shall be converted as a result. For those who may be among us that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be there they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy, grace, peace, and pardon with the Lord. I pray now that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power, that the Spirit of God shall have his way in every heart. When we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has met with us, that God has spoken to us, and that God has done a work in our hearts. May the Lord Jesus alone be exalted and magnified in all that you're pleased to do for us, through us, and in us. We will give you the praise in the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer. We humbly pray. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight and tomorrow night, if the Lord wills, as we look at Revelation chapter 1, about John reporting from the Isle of Patmos. News reporters come on the air by identifying themselves as so-and-so, reporting from Washington, the Pentagon, Moscow, or wherever. Often their information is biased and slanted, and you can't always trust their report, and of course that's an understatement. But here's one report that you can be absolutely sure of. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God. Not only the prophecy of this book, the book of the Revelation, but the entire Word of God. For the Bible, the entire Bible, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Either symbolically or in typology, the Bible is a revelation of the Lord Jesus. I was reading some time ago about a church in England, and a young preacher got up to preach. And when he got through, he sat down beside an older preacher. And he said to the older preacher, "How did I do?" The older preacher said, "Not so good. You didn't mention Jesus Christ not once." And the young man said, "The scripture that I was reading from didn't refer to Jesus. Not every scripture in the Bible refers to Him. Not every road, you know, leads to London." And the old preacher said, "Young man, if you can't find a road to Jesus, jump a ditch. Every verse in this Bible, every book of this Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And John's report has everlasting benefits. Blessed are they that read the words of this prophecy, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This news is from heaven, not of earth, and it describes the consummation of the ages. Like Moses, God's people endure by seeing Him who is invisible. We know things. We know secrets that this world does not know. What is bad news to the world is good news to the people of God. These perilous times are no shock to us. They're no surprise to us. We've already read them described in the Word of God. We have read the last chapter. And the believer knows that God will put everything in order that is out of order." Somebody said, "What is this world coming to?" I tell you exactly what it's coming to. It's come to that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He will put everything in order that's out of order. You talk about global warming. It's coming. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so on this lonely, isolated, rocky, uninhabited island out in the ancient sea, God showed His servants things which must shortly come to pass. Not only John, but the revelation which Jesus with the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is to John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And that is you and I. God showed his servants the destiny of mankind, the destruction of the earth, the creation of a new heaven and a new earth, the descent of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. As we consider John reporting from the Isle of Patmos, you note that this message, this report, extends a salutation. John says, "Grace and peace be unto you." And of course, it comes in that order. There is no grace and there is no peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. And peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come. And there can be no peace without grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have peace until first of all you experience the grace of God. And so John extends this blessed greeting in the name of the triune God, from the Father, which is, which was, and which is to come, from the Holy Spirit, are the seven spirits representing the perfection and the intercession of the Holy Ghost, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who is the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. No more blessed greeting was ever read or heard than this message. Grace and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know that this message was delivered to the seven churches of Asia. Not to the lodges, but to the churches. God works through the churches. He works through the church. If revival comes, it'll come through the church. It is through the church that God has ordained that we preach the gospel and that we witness of the grace of God. And so upon the mention of the name of Jesus, John breaks forth in praise. It happened in Ephesians 3, chapter 3 as well. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It happened again in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. It happened in Jude verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. All these got stirred at the name of Jesus. Brother, they didn't have to sing a chorus with 18 verses and the same three words to get worked up or to be stirred in their heart. The very mention of Jesus' name thrilled them. Grace and peace be unto you. And this praise is based upon three things. John ascribes praise to our Lord for three great things that he has done. He loved us. He liberated us. And he lifted us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now you know that the leaven came before the washing. Before he ever washed us. Before he ever cleansed us. He loved us. It wouldn't be nearly as amazing if he loved us after he cleansed us. But the truth is, before he ever washed us, before he ever cleansed us, he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were strangers to the covenant of grace, without God in this world, and without hope, he loved us. And the love of God came before even the washing. Now it'd be easy to understand how he could have pitied us or just had compassion on us. But the amazing thing is, he loved us. He loved us while we were unlovable. Think about that. Christ loves us. The one whose face is the light of heaven. The one whose hands holds the scepter of the universe. The one whose feet are sandaled with the stars of heaven. The one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess loves us. The Lord of glory, the creator of all creation, the designer behind all design, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient Christ who was, who is, and who is to come, who is from everlasting to everlasting, loves us. There's never been a time that he did not love us. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That means you can look as far back into eternity as you care to. And God says, I love you. You can look as far into eternity, the future. And God says, I still love you. The truth is, he didn't love me anymore after he saved me. But on the other hand, he doesn't love me any less. His love is everlasting. His love is eternal. He loved us before he washed us. At the turn of the century, there was a world-renowned theologian. At the turn of the 20th century, there was a world-renowned theologian visiting New York. And as he disembarked from the ship, while he was getting off the ship, a group of reporters had met to interview him. And one of those reporters asked that world-renowned theologian this question, "Sir, what is the greatest? What is the most profound thought you've ever had?" Tears welled up in that theologian's eyes, and he replied, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I don't care who you are or where you've been. There's no greater knowledge than the fact that God loves us, and to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins, His love is eternal. In the days of His flesh, He loved us. When the stars are burned asunder, He will love us. He not only has loved us, but He liberated us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He has washed us from the stains of sin. He has loosed us from the chains of sin. He washed us in one great, mighty atoning act. We did not work for cleansing. We did not work to earn it. And we certainly do not deserve it. It is one mighty act of God. Quicker than I can tell, God can translate a sinner from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His glorious Son. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? I want to praise God that I have been to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And every sinner that will plunge beneath that flow may lose all their guilty stains. He liberated us. Charlotte Elliott was right when she penned those words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We have redemption through His blood, according to the riches of His grace. Not according to our depravity, but according to the riches of His grace. And there's no one beyond the scope of His grace. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus of pardon receives. And John praises the Lord because He loved us and He liberated us and He lifted us and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. He has bestowed, conferred upon us celestial citizenship. Now the days of John, the individual counted for nothing. The Caesar counted. The state counted. But the oppressed millions in the Roman Empire meant nothing. Consider even today how meaningless life is even in Muslim countries. And I'm afraid more so even in America. Do not tell me that people have compassion when they talk about their compassion and yet have no problem in murdering millions of unborn babies. And I'm sure that they have no problem with that. They'll have no problem of murdering people on the other end of life. And so life, even in America, seems to be valued little. But John says, "Unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God." John was a priest and a priest and a king in the family of God. He belonged to the royal family of God. I was in England some time ago. As a matter of fact, it was in May, the same time that they were celebrating VE Day, Victory in Europe. And I happened to be there. And on Sunday morning, My wife and I were walking to Westminster Chapel, the church where Martin Lloyd-Jones had once pastored and preached. And just as we got to Buckingham Palace, because Westminster Chapel is just a quarter of a mile from Buckingham Palace, and about the time we got to, started past the gate, the guards stopped us. There were 140 dignitaries, heads of state, that were leaving Buckingham Palace that morning. Queen Elizabeth came by and waved, and Princess Diana came by and waved, and the whole crowd. That's the group standing around us, and I said to my wife, "This is a friendly bunch, ain't it? They're all waving." And my wife gouged me in the ribs, but I thought later I might not be able to stand on the balcony of Buckingham Palace and wave wherever how they do it. But I am royal. I am a king and a priest unto God. I have royal blood through the blood of Jesus Christ. The country club crowd don't have anything on the people of God. We've been made kings and priests unto God, and that means I have access to the throne of God. I can pray. It's my birthright. I don't have to count a rosary. I don't have to count beads. I don't have to kiss the statue of the Virgin Mary. I stood at St. Andrews, Scotland once, where John Knox was arrested and made a slave on a galley ship. And one day, one of the priests of Rome came by and came to John Knox with the statue of the Virgin Mary. And the Holy Father said to John Knox, "Here, kiss this statue." John Knox grabbed it out of the priest's hands, threw it off in the North Sea, and said, "Let's see if she can swim." I don't have to pray to the Virgin Mary. I rejoice for the role of the Virgin Mary. But I have access to the King of Kings. There is no Queen of Heaven. I have access to the King Himself. I have the right to approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And to promise that whatsoever I asked in my Father's name, that He would grant it. I have the privilege to be a child of God, a king, and a priest unto God. And then this message, this report incites anticipation. Behold, He cometh with clouds. That is the cry that will reach to the bottom of every grave. It is the sound that will echo into the depths of the sea. It is the call that will wake the millions of dead. The dead are buried in the heart of the earth. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Some years ago, I was preaching in a meeting, and I'd preached on the second coming. And after the service, the preacher came to me and said, "I guess," now there's a whole bunch of preachers there. And he said, "I guess you know that most of these preachers don't believe what you preached about the second coming of the Lord. They believe in just a general resurrection, and they don't believe all that you said tonight." Of course, everything I said, I read from the book. And he just said, "I just wanted to tell you and get your reaction." I said, "There's just one thing that comes to my mind. One verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Behold, He cometh with clouds." John was present when the Lord was taken away from him. He saw the cloud receive him out of sight. He heard the angel announce that this same Jesus, whom you see ascend into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen Him go. The same Jesus who came to planet earth 2,000 years ago is the same Lord who is coming again. For the Lord Himself, not an angel, not death, but the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. His coming was predicted by the prophets, promised by Jesus, confirmed by the angels, and preached by the apostles. Behold, He cometh with clouds. And it is the promise of our Lord that this same Jesus will come again. The same Lord who walked with the blue sea of Galilee. The same Lord who walked up the sunny slopes of the Mount of Olives. The same Lord who performed miracles is the same Lord who will come again. And I shall see Him face to face. This same Jesus. The same Jesus who came to Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Rome has its Colosseum. Athens has its Parthenon. But thank God Jerusalem has its Calvary. And it has its empty tomb. For it was outside that city the Son of God got up on the third morning and waved the keys of death and hell in the devil's face and declared Himself alive forevermore. And it is this same Jesus who shall come again. Behold, He cometh with clouds. He is secretly coming. And every eye shall see Him. Now not all shall see Him at the same time, in the same place, and in the same manner. Christ is coming for His saints. And then He's coming with His saints. Somebody says, you're a fool to believe that. You're a daydreamer. No, I'm a Bible believer. And every eye shall see Him. He is coming as a thief in the night. He is coming, of course, when men are not expecting Him to come. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? That seems to indicate to me that it will be scarce and rare, but He will find faith when He comes. When He comes, and maybe He will come tonight and maybe not, but He is coming again. I do know this, that the Lord Jesus promised, I will come again. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. And it may be shortly, or it may be a far off period of time. But I do know this, that He is coming again. And He will deliver His church from this corruptible world. He's coming as a thief in the night. Should the Lord come this Friday night, people will pass by here in the morning, and I hope they'll see a lot of cars here, and say to themselves that old Brother Maccabee and Brother Phillips and Carrigan, all these preachers got that crowd up there and kept them all night long and come out of this tabernacle investigate, but all they'll find are glasses, false teeth, everything else artificial. And we'll be gone. Somebody says, you're a fool. I'm a Bible believer. He may come tonight. I don't know when He shall come. But I know this, behold, He cometh with clouds. He is coming for His church. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. And we shall meet Him in the air. I heard Dr. R.G. Lee tell this many years ago. And sure, Brother Dr. McAfee's heard him tell it as well. As you know, Dr. Lee came from Chester, South Carolina, just down the road. And he said when he was a little boy, lying on his mother's front porch one July, hot July day, just like today, he asked his mother this question. They were out on the front porch stringing green beans. And Dr. Lee asked his mother, Mother, what was the happiest day of your life? And she said to Dr. Lee, that's a hard question. You've asked a hard question. As you know, we lived during the time of the Civil War. It was a terrible and dark time. And that period of time, when the war was over, many of the soldiers came home. Some of them had arms missing and legs or eyes. And some of the soldiers, many of the soldiers, didn't even come home at all. And he said, my father, your grandfather, the news came one day that my father, your grandfather, had been killed on a battlefield in Virginia. And then the war was over and soldiers started returning home. And my mother would talk with those soldiers and she cried more than I've ever heard her cry. But she said one day, just like today, we were set on the porch, and my mother looked across the field and said to me, "Sally, that man in the distance walks like your daddy." And then he got a little closer and she jumped up, threw beans everywhere and said, "Sally, honey, that is your daddy." He had been mistakenly identified as dead. Happy day, when the bridegroom shall come for his bride. The Lord Jesus will come again. And John says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." I do not know what we will face, as Brother Mackin has already said. I don't know how dark the waters or how dark the night, but I know this, that whether I go by the grave or whether the Lord comes, that we are on the winning side, that He's already won the battle and that He is coming. And if He should come tonight, all I can say is goodbye, goodbye. I'm going to be with Jesus. That will be the watcher's look for day, the purchaser's redemption day, the builder's completion day, the sower's reaping day, the servant's reckoning day, the master's pay day, the son's manifestation day, the bride's wedding day, the king's coronation day. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Woo! He is coming. He's coming with clouds. Woo! This same Jesus shall so come again.